It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
When mainstream media feels the need to aggressively label an issue as, quote, just a conspiracy theory, we should all pay attention and summon the courage to conduct an honest investigation of our own. State-sponsored corruption and criminality continues. Fascism has metastasized to a degree that can scarcely be comprehended. Fascism has no political affiliation. The programming and compartmentalization of societies continues. There are so many speculating about all the agendas and objectives that the controllers have planned, but how many of the conclusions being put forward make any mention whatsoever of the fact that the planet's life support systems are failing by the day? This factor is the bottom line, that on the current course will very soon make all other concerns or causes moot. Unfolding biosphere collapse is the core factor that is fueling the insanity that we now face from countless directions. Welcome to the commercial-free Global Alert News Hour, the global report on issues we need to know and must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. COVID-19 and the election theater both are being utilized to completely eclipse the unfolding and accelerating across-the-board collapse. It's not coming. It's here. From numerous sources, goodbye middle class. Half of all American workers made less than $34,245 last year. If you're making less than $3,000 a month, you have plenty of company because about half the country is in the exact same boat. The notion that collapse is just the result of some misguided monetary and economic policies is completely inadequate and incorrect. Earth's collapsing environments and life support systems is, again, and always will be, the bottom line. So how's the lie of perpetual growth on a finite planet with finite resources going? Headlines from multiple sources, easily researchable online. Another 840,000 Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week. Another headline. Unemployment filings are occurring at a record pace. Another headline. We're seeing evidence that the, quote, recovery is slowing down. Another headline. Just 59 Americans own more wealth than half the country, data shows. Again, completely connected to the increasingly fascist scenario we face. Another headline, the U.S. debt is now projected to be larger than the U.S. economy. Endless money printing with nothing to back it up. On that note, these headlines. The Fed is buying some of the biggest companies' bonds. This headline, Fed kicks off unprecedented corporate bond buying program. And this headline, top 100 companies whose debt the Fed is buying. Federal Reserve also buying U.S. government's debt. It's called a snake eating its own tail. And what does all this add up to? What's it mean? The stock market is a house of cards, a Ponzi scheme that's being kept afloat by the Fed's money printing from thin air. Stock prices are then artificially inflated by the Fed's purchase of the stocks with the fiat money it created from nothing. The markets are being used to pacify populations till the brutal, bitter end, which the bottom line is biosphere collapse, which is drawing now very near. In the meantime, the controllers will continue to stoke the CV-19 scenario. The lockdowns are only the beginning. On that note, from multiple sources, Canadian government erecting a network of COVID detainment camps. From that report, a brave Ontario politician named Randy Hillier spoke out about the government's nefarious detainment plan in a provincial question period in front of the government of Ontario. His microphone was cut off as soon as he started asking the tough questions. If you don't think such nefarious agendas are possible, not just from the Canadian government, but our own and many others, turn the clock back a year and ask yourself if you would have believed any of what is already reality. In a moment, breaking headlines from last week on the issues that pose the greatest threat to our collective future. First, I want to express my deepest gratitude to each and every individual that's doing their best to stay informed, to wake others with credible data from a credible source, and to help turn the tide of insanity. Thank you for your help with sounding the alarm. It is our collective efforts that can yet make a difference. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 271, October 17th, 2020. What a long and arduous battle this has been for myself and many others. I can scarcely remember what my life was like before embarking on this trek, which I knew I had to travel. I knew this path I had to face. Not that I wanted to. I was quite content restoring habitat in the wilderness, working in solitude. But how could I continue doing that, knowing what I knew, knowing what was occurring in the skies above me and the effect on the entire planet? What good would it be to continue trying to plant trees when they no longer grow, and they don't? More on that later in this broadcast. We must face and deal with the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat. That is the climate engineering assault and everything connected to it, environmental collapse and everything connected to it, and the powers that be that are fueling all of it. We must face these issues or we have no chance. It's that simple. This is the commercial-free frontline news broadcast brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM, Sunday morning, same time slot, repeat broadcast. Also on the East Coast, the PRN Radio Network, Wednesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. We only want to put them into circulation. Those in the Redding area of Shasta County can pick up free geoengineeringwatch.org materials from the vitamin section at Orchard Nutrition. And for those that don't envision themselves as a, quote, activist, I'm not an activist and never, ever imagined I would do what I have done for the last 20 years. I'm not politically oriented, never wanted to be an activist, but this is simply a fight for everything that matters, for the future of our children, for the future of the web of life. How can we not become involved in such a battle? And all of us can move this fight forward if we simply take the first step on this path. Arm yourself with credible data from a credible source, pass it on to others, and ask them to do the same. We are rapidly running out of time. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward in this fight, and all of us are needed in that effort. If we can expose it, we can expose the insanity, we have a chance at stopping it. Moving on. Headlines. Europe records 100,000 daily coronavirus cases for first time. From that report, cases throughout Europe have been steadily rising, even as new infections in worst-affected countries such as India and Brazil have shown signs of slowing down. So let's stop there and evaluate this. As geoengineeringwatch.org has stated, since the onset of the engineered CV-19 scenario, the controllers can stoke the CV-19 fires as they choose, statistically or actually. They can facilitate the dying down of outbreaks in some regions to help avoid panicking populations and then push the numbers back up again to justify increased lockdown mandates. How many strains of CV19 are there? How many more will be let loose on populations? Time will soon enough reveal all. Are some leaks developing in the power structure ship, so to speak? More on the lockdowns from thecaliforniaglobe.com. World Health Organization official urges world leaders to stop using lockdowns as virus control method. From that report, Governor Newsom continues to declare that the 9-month state of emergency centralizes the state powers in his hands. Dr. David Nabarro, the World Health Organization's special envoy on COVID-19, recently stated this on the record, quote, "We really do appeal to all world leaders, stop using lockdown as your primary control method," end quote. Something to consider, isn't it? We have to research beyond what mainstream media would have us believe. About masks, two former example headlines to consider. From CNN News, masks may actually increase your coronavirus risk if worn improperly. That should come as no surprise. From that report, March 2nd, 2020, masks may actually increase your coronavirus risk if worn improperly, Surgeon General warns CNN. And this from WebMD.com. Quote, "Officials push masks for COVID despite mixed data." That's not a message that mainstream media would really want us to believe now, is it? And this is a direct quote from WebMD. This is not my opinion. It's from WebMD and many other credible sites. There is so much data. These example headlines are the tip of the proverbial iceberg on the subject. Please conduct your own investigation. Don't simply feed from the mainstream media trough of disinformation and deception. There is much more to know than what you are being told on the mainstream disinformation channels who work exclusively for those in power. So, how is Shasta County, California doing since mandatory mask mandates have been implemented? I've given a couple updates on this previously. This is the current data. Since the mask mandate in Shasta County, previously the CV-19 infections were hovering at about 30. Since the mandatory mask provision, the official CV-19 infection total in Shasta County has risen by over now 5,500%. That's 55 times more, to 1,650. That's concerning, isn't it? Something to ponder. Will the CV-19 vaccine save us all? To any that would even ask such a question, I would ask this: what do you actually know about vaccines and the total blanket immunity vaccine makers have been given by our government for any and all death and injury their concoctions cause? Please don't believe anything I'm stating. Please just investigate for yourself. About the CV-19 warp speed witch's brew, two sample headlines from last week. This is ongoing. COVID-19 drug trials halted on safety concerns. And this from USA Today: COVID-19 vaccine trials are on hold. Just two sample headlines, but not to worry. Official sources assure us that any jab they plan to force on us will be, quote, safe and effective. Right. From childrenshealthdefense.org, this: read the fine print. Nearly 400 adverse reactions listed in vaccine package inserts. From that report, package inserts are available online for all vaccines licensed in the U.S. In addition to containing bits of practical information for the clinicians who administer the vaccines, the inserts provide members of the public with one of their only opportunities to learn about a vaccine's contradictions, warnings, precautions, and perhaps most importantly, potential adverse reactions. Children's Health Defense summarized the post-marketing data for over 36 vaccines given routinely to American infants, children, and adolescents. Available medical data revealed that vaccines touted for the prevention of 13 illnesses have been linked to at least 217 adverse medical outcomes, including serious infections, autoimmune conditions, life-threatening allergies, and death. Our most recent investigation has revealed many more adverse medical outcomes, bringing the total to nearly 400. How much of these adverse reactions are being disclosed to parents of these children? What a massive conflict of interest that so many physicians are being paid so much to ensure that children receive these injections. So how much money do the doctors really make from vaccines? The average American pediatrician has 1,546 patients, though some pediatricians have many more. The vast majority of those patients are very young, perhaps because children transition to a family physician or stop visiting the doctor at all as they grow up. Blue Cross Blue Shield pays pediatricians $400 per fully vaccinated child. If your pediatrician has just 100 fully vaccinated patients during a 2-year period, that's $40,000. Yes, Blue Cross Blue Shield pays your doctor $40,000 in bonus money for fully vaccinating 100 patients under the age of 2. If your doctor manages to fully vaccinate 200 patients, that's an $80,000 bonus. But here's the catch. Under Blue Cross Blue Shield's rules, pediatricians lose their whole bonus unless at least 63% of patients are fully vaccinated. And that includes the flu vaccine. So it's not just $400 on your child's head. It could be the whole bonus. To your doctor, your decision to vaccinate your child might be worth $40,000 or much more, depending on the size of his or her practice. What a massive, immoral conflict of interest. Is it any wonder whatsoever why disclosures of the dangers are not being given? And let's not forget this recent science study from disabledveterans.org and other sources. Quote, influenza vaccine. Military study shows 36% higher odds of coronavirus infection. research that for yourself. Again, from disabledveterans.org. If you think you're being told the whole truth by official sources and mainstream media or the pharmaceutical industrial complex, think again. Can we avoid any attempt to force vaccinate? We'll see. What can't we avoid? What's it like for an insect to be poisoned by a crop-dusting aircraft? Don't we all know? Is there any difference whatsoever between crop-dusting insects and the global climate engineering spray operations that have long since contaminated our entire planet and every breath we take? How can we avoid this? Answer, we can't. And it's all connected. Everything I'm covering on this broadcast is all connected. It leads back to the same sources, the same instigators. How is the CV-19 scenario being utilized by the money-printing controllers to implement societal lockdowns ultimately related to unfolding biosphere collapse? Let's go back to earlier this year. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, declares global recession. 80-plus countries request help. Now this headline, also from earlier this year. The International Monetary Fund makes funds available in response to the COVID-19 scenario. And now this headline. Please connect all these dots. Over 80% of IMF, International Monetary Fund, COVID-19 loans will push austerity on poor countries. This austerity drive will hurt the countries it claims to help and flies in the face of the fund's own research findings showing it worsens poverty and inequality. For example, 9 countries, including Angola, Nigeria, and Malawi, are likely to introduce or increase the collection of value-added taxes, which apply to everyday products like food, clothing, and household supplies, and fall disproportionately on poor people. Unemployment in Nigeria has surged to 27%. Global fascism continues to expand like a malignant cancer. But the IMF COVID-19 loans didn't just force draconian taxes on those who are already starving to death. It's also connected to forced lockdown of those societies. Consider this headline from EUtimes.net. IMF loan contingent on Belarus locking down their society. Quote, we can only lend you money if you lock your people down. That's how it's all controlled. It all goes back to the money printing. Those who print the money control militaries, thus they control countries. They control the narrative. They control mainstream media. We have to look past all these sources of disinformation to have a clear understanding of what's unfolding on the horizon, what's unfolding immediately, right now. It's not over the next ridge somewhere. It's kicking in the front door right now. From Forbes.com and other sources, billionaire wealth hits $10 trillion for first time ever thanks to government COVID stimulus. Again, these programs, looting, plundering, pillaging from what little the poor have left, and passing it on to those who already have almost everything. That's what these IMF loans do around the world. So many Americans have been taught to believe that our country is doling out money to all these poor countries and helping the poor, but that is in so many cases not the reality on the ground. These loans are made to brutal dictators. That resource never gets into the hand of the population itself. The countries are encumbered with massive debt they can't pay, and then the empire loots, plunders, and pillages the resources of the country, again, for which the population never received any compensation for. That's how it works. That's how the system works. On the subject of billionaires, this new headline from BusinessInsider.com, quote, the U.S. military and Elon Musk are planning a 7,500-mile-per-hour rocket that can deliver weapons anywhere in the world in an hour. For that report, a 7,652-mile journey from Florida to Afghanistan could be completed within about an hour with such a high-speed rocket, which could travel at 7,500 miles per hour. SpaceX, Musk's company, won 40% of a billion-dollar agreement with the Department of Defense to launch new rockets for the Space Force. What a great idea. Musk and the military, consuming the last of Earth's remaining resources to build mega-bomb-dropping rockets that can deliver the final brutalizing blow to Afghanistan, a country that has done nothing to us. Those who still buy the official lies about 9/11 may believe otherwise, but the 9/11 official narrative believers still accept that the World Trade Center Tower 7, a 47-story steel structure high-rise, came down at freefall speed because some furniture was burning on the bottom two floors. To those who believe that absolutely incomprehensible lie, please look up and watch the video of Building 7 collapsing in 7 seconds, free fall speed. Understand there's a peer-reviewed science study from a U.S. institution that now has proven that building came down from controlled demolitions, not a single word anywhere, any official source, any elected official, any mainstream media, anything. Because Americans, so many of them, want to believe the lie, want to believe the delusion, and overlook even an event like 9/11 where our own brothers, sisters, mothers, and fathers were killed, because it's too painful to look directly at such a truth. But I'm asking, begging, for anyone who claims to be patriotic, please look up and view the video of Building 7 coming down in 7 seconds, free fall speed, imploding in its own footprint, and ask yourself if you can possibly believe that that happened because of some furniture burning on the first floor, a building that most Americans don't even know came down. How can that possibly be in a country with so many citizens that claim to be so patriotic, driving around in giant four-wheel drive pickups with their flags waving out the back, but don't seem to care at all about the truth? What is the truth? As Twain said, in the beginning of change, the patriot is brave and scarce, hated and scorned, but in the end, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Bigger weapons to back up the biggest lies of all time. What has America become? What has America become? Under administrations from every political stripe, this is not a political issue at all. Fascism is not connected to any political stripe. U.S. public facing huge bill to clean up after oil and gas industry, no surprise, again connected to fascism. From that report, the American public is facing a potential bill of $280 billion for the cleanup of 2.6 million unplugged oil and gas wells, according to a new report that has been issued from London-based think tank Carbon Tracker. While this number is alarming, it doesn't even include an estimated 1.2 million undocumented orphan oil and gas wells. An orphan well is an industry term for a non-producing oil or gas well that has no financial viability, and the operator thus won't spend the money to plug them. With the current state of the oil and gas industry, the number of financially viable operators is rapidly decreasing while bankruptcies rise, which is exacerbating this entire issue. Massive permanent pollution of so much of the planet. But again, through it all, the rich are still getting richer. Who's the largest single-source polluter on planet Earth? As stated on this broadcast many times previously, it's not an opinion, it's a statistical fact. The U.S. military, largest single-source polluter. Doesn't mean bigger than China as a whole, doesn't mean bigger than the U.S. as a whole, but as a single-source polluter, U.S. military, largest. Are other militaries better? Of course not. They're just smaller. That's all. Russia's polluted an unimaginable amount of the planet, especially in the Arctic. But so has our military. What does the so-called science community have to say regarding the biosphere collapse equation? Are the scientists telling us how dire the situation really is? Are they telling us what we actually need to do to change course? Or are they passing on feel-good lies to pacify populations till the brutal bitter end? New from the UK Guardian, quote, rewild to mitigate the climate crisis, urge leading scientists. From that report, restoring natural landscapes damaged by human exploitation can be one of the most effective and cheapest ways to combat the climate crisis while also boosting dwindling wildlife populations, a scientific study has just found. Quote, if you plant trees in areas where forests didn't previously exist, it will mitigate climate change. If, I have to stop there for a moment. Trees aren't growing in those places because they don't grow in those places. And next, trees are no longer growing in places where they once thrived. In forests that have now been burnt down to scorched earth, where the UV is so intense, where the precipitation cycles are so disrupted, where the ground is so polluted from the climate engineering fallout, and the heavy metals like aluminum, which we know from peer-reviewed science study, causes roots to stop nutrient uptake. The trees don't grow anymore. I know from my location in Northern California where 15 years ago, I could plant 250 to 300 trees a day myself, plugs designed for that type of reforestation. I could do that many myself on a long day. With a 95% success rate, meaning 95% of the trees I planted would make it through the first year, now the success rate is zero. Zero. And so we have these so-called scientists pretending you can just click your heels together and end up back in Kansas. Just make your wish from the end of the rainbow and you'll get a pot of gold. This is how ridiculous these so-called scientists and their so-called solutions are. Or we can put millions of mirrors in space. And by the way, ignore the climate engineering jets spraying aluminum particulates to reflect the sun that do everything I just described. We live in an asylum, and there's no honor. There's no honor in this equation. And the scientists, what else have they suggested? 10 million wind-powered water pumps to pump cold water from the Arctic seafloor to the surface to try to refreeze ice, which makes warm water enter the seafloor, which thaws methane, which expels to the surface into the atmosphere, turning our planet into Venus. What a great idea that is. That's our so-called science community, totally betraying the human race and the entire web of life. This report continues with this. We need restored ocean habitats such as seagrass and oysters to help promote biodiversity, but also to help secure future food supply through fisheries and lock up carbon from our atmosphere. I'm going to stop there in this report because it's so ridiculous. We're just going to put oysters back everywhere where they already just died because the ocean's acidifying, because it's absorbing so much carbon already. Can't absorb any more carbon. It's superheating. It's turning to what's termed Canfield Ocean, a lifeless, superheated, oxygenless, stratified death zone. That's what our oceans are turning into. And the oceans die, we die, by the way. Trees die, we die. Ozone layer collapses, we die. All of it's happening at once. From RenewEconomy.com, Queensland shift to 100% renewable, feasible within 15 years. This is in the same category of total fantasy delusion to pacify populations. This report states almost 11,000 additional jobs would be created in an ongoing basis from the renewable energy programs. At least that's what this study states. And it goes on to say this, quote, a recent report by leading experts, climate analytics, found a global temperature rise of more than 1.5 degrees C would virtually guarantee the extinction of most of the Great Barrier Reef, end quote. Again, this is a report from Australia. That's why they reference the Barrier Reef. But guess what? The Barrier Reef is almost already dead now. And a global temperature rise of 1.5 degrees C, that was passed perhaps a decade and a half ago. The temperatures from the ground are astronomically higher than anything we're officially being told. And that data indicates we may be past 3.5 degrees C right now. We are being lied to on every imaginable level. From Scientific American, this, the Earth is on fire. The report states it's immoral to saddle today's young people with an inheritance of environmental catastrophe. Again, that's from Scientific American. It's not environmental catastrophe. That's already here. We face the end of the road now, mathematically, statistically speaking. And I'm sorry for all those who think this is so unpleasant it can't be true. And we get that from the climate science community, by the way. Such a conclusion, even though the data indicates conclusions, as I have stated on this broadcast for many years, and GeoEngineering Watch has stated for well over a decade, for so many in academia, and from every side of the fence, if a conclusion is simply too horrific to believe, then they don't believe it. It just can't be so. Even if that's what the science indicates. And that's not the sign of a healthy mind. Again, the sign of a healthy intellect, and psychological study bears this out, is an unyielding willingness to face the truth no matter how dire. Remember that. From USNews.com, Phoenix breaks record with 144th day of triple-digit heat. Total planetary meltdown is here. We don't just face global warming. We would be lucky if we faced just global warming. We face a planetary meltdown, planetary omnicide. And even though the eastern half of the U.S. lower 48 has been kept consistently cooler than the rest of the world proportionally for the last 8 years running, that's not nature. That's climate engineering. And for every cool down climate engineering carries out, the overall warming of the planet becomes worse, not better. From this report, Phoenix has already set other records this year with 50 days of 110 degree heat and the hottest August ever since weather keeping records began in 1896. Arizona and California had their warmest April to September period in the last 126 years. That's since record-keeping began as well, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. For Arizona, that six-month interval was the state's driest period ever also. Question, is the U.S. Drought Monitor telling us the truth? No. As bad as the news may sound from this official source and all other so-called official sources, the reality on the ground is far worse still. Layers and layers and layers of lies. Official temperature readings are being radically underreported, daytime highs and nighttime lows. It's not uncommon to see official temperatures underreported by 5 or even 10 degrees. What's this add up to? It means that the planet has warmed far more than has been officially acknowledged. Earth is being pushed into a state of, again, total meltdown. Climate engineering is further fueling the fire, along with countless other forms of human activity. We have decimated our once thriving planet in the geologic blink of an eye, and even As environmental collapse accelerates all over the world, almost none are even slightly aware of the wider horizon. Even the major environmental groups and organizations are willfully looking the other way, pretending that current forms of so-called renewable energy will save us. Again, view the documentary Planet of the Humans to set the record straight on that notion. Or such groups will focus on saving a specific species of fish or frog somewhere in the planet, while the entire biosphere collapses. How does that work out exactly? For the record, many major environmental organizations get funding from names like Rockefeller, Soros, and Gates. Is it any wonder that they and their followers are being directed to look away from the wider horizon, and most especially to systematically deny the climate engineering atrocities that only the clinically blind could miss? Back to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Just another disinformation source that is tasked with masking the true severity of threat from public view, like so many so-called public protection agencies that in reality actually exist to downplay and hide threats from populations, not to disclose them. Conditions in parts of California are far past record-shattering. The constant heat day and night, far above historical averages, constant record low humidity, record drought, record low forest fuel moistures, and yet the U.S. Drought Monitor still doesn't show such regions as being in the most severe levels of drought, thus convincing much of the population that it must not be that bad, or the official agencies would tell us, right? So no matter how bad it actually is, on this issue and countless others, we get the official instructions to move on. Nothing to see here, while the planet burns down around us. Then there's the other side of the orchestrated divide that's still trying to convince themselves that there's nothing whatsoever wrong with the environment and the planet's life support systems. And in regard to the climate engineering atrocities, also denied. This group pushes the narrative that it's just the other political party that's preventing them from reaching the perpetual expansion and consumption end of the rainbow. Good luck with that. For the record, the hydrocarbon-fueled loot, plunder, pillage, and pollute party is over, and it's not coming back. There is more than enough denial to go around on absolutely all sides of the manufactured political divides. A constant streaming of bread and circus in the engineered election theater of the absurd has so far been successful for the controllers. It has been a successful strategy for them. Populations are more divided and polarized now than ever before, and almost none have any idea that they're already knee-deep in water on the deck of the proverbial Titanic. Question, should IQ tests be mandatory for any and all presidential candidates? And if not, why not? Back to the collapsing biosphere, does the sun feel hot on your face? From the World Meteorological Association, 2020 Antarctic ozone hole is large and deep. From that report, the 220 ozone hole grew rapidly from mid-August and peaked around 24 million square kilometers in early October. But wait, how many times along the way in recent years have we all been told that the ozone hole is all better now? Total deception. The destruction of the ozone layer is not isolated to Antarctica. It's a global phenomenon. It's global in scope. What's the single largest factor that's fueling ozone layer collapse? Climate engineering operations. At the current rate of ozone layer destruction, total collapse may occur as soon as 2026. If this takes place, game over. For the record, 2026 is also the mathematical zero hour for global wildlife, meaning that at the current rate of die-off, global wildlife populations will be functionally unviable at an end. And these calculations were done before the Australian wildfire apocalypse, before the 63,000 wildfires in the Amazon this year, before the tens of millions of acres burned in Siberia this year, before the record incinerations in California and the U.S. West. If we remain on the current course, the end draws near. If you can't see it yet, your eyes are wide shut. Please open them. Help us to change course while there's still anything left to salvage. Exposing and halting the weather warfare operations is the first and most important leap we can make in the right direction. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward. The climate engineers can shut off the rain to California for as long as they choose. That is exactly what they are doing, what they have done. It isn't just the atmospheric aerosol spraying that's disrupting rain patterns. Extremely powerful microwave transmissions are constantly being utilized to orchestrate high-pressure heat domes over the U.S. West. This is the, quote, ridiculously resilient ridge that meteorologists won't acknowledge as being a result of climate engineering operations. Don't believe this? I understand. But I ask you to go to the post of this week's broadcast on geoengineeringwatch.org, scroll down through the post and take a good long look at a NASA satellite image of the U.S. West recorded this week by geoengineeringwatch.org. This image is truly shocking. You don't need any meteorological knowledge to recognize how profound this image is. Then take the time to review the engineering drought, engineering wildfires, and engineering winter sections at geoengineeringwatch.org. Help us, please help us to sound the alarm. Moving on, more half-truths and deception from the so-called climate science community, from sciencebrief.org. Climate change increases the risk of wildfires. No mention of the climate engineering elephant in the equation. And this, more power shutdowns, part of the plan. This headline, power still out to thousands in California to prevent fires. How about stopping the climate engineering assault that's cutting off our precipitation to prevent fires? Again, please examine the satellite image I just mentioned on the post of this at geoengineeringwatch.org. Moving on, from numerous sources, California needs forests to fight climate change, but they're going up in smoke. This is from Reuters. California's record wildfires pose a problem for the state's plan to use its forests to help offset climate warming emissions. The most populous U.S. state has suffered five of its six largest wildfires in history this year as heat waves and dry lightning sieges combined with drier conditions, not drier, record dry conditions, that climate scientists blame on global warming. I can scarcely find the words to describe what I feel for the criminal cowardice in the climate science community. Is global warming real? Yes. In fact, it's much worse than that. But we can't have less rain on a warming planet without a factor we're not being told about. And that factor is climate engineering, which is being systematically denied by all official agencies in the entire climate science community. Again, criminal betrayal of the human race in the entire web of life. The report continues, it's unclear how much of California's plan for becoming carbon neutral by 2045 depends on its forests, but as climate change fuels increasingly frequent and intense blazes, again, climate engineering is the core of that equation. It must rain more on a warming planet, and it's not, and climate engineering is the reason why. The report states any plan that relies on keeping forests healthy could be frustrated. Could be? Could, may, might, when you can't even plant trees where they once thrived because of the decimation that's been caused to our planet, with climate engineering being at the core in so many cases, in addition to all other forms of human activity. Again, all of it's a part of the problem. All of it's a part of the equation. It's not a this or that scenario. It's this, that, and everything else that has altered our planet's former equilibrium. This report continues, California's climate change agenda is among the most ambitious in the United States, but thanks to wildfires, forests are, quote, part of the problem, not part of the solution. That was from Eddie Chang, Deputy Executive Director at California's Air Resource Board. These agencies are here to hide what is really occurring from the population. Please contact Mr. Chang. Tell him what you think about his deception. Do it peacefully and professionally, but tell him. Hold these people to account that are lying about the climate engineering elephant in the room that is the core causal factor for the cutoff of precipitation from California, the toxification of soils, which is sterilizing the soil microbiome, the destruction of the ozone layer, which is frying the trees from the top down, the ionization of the atmosphere from the electrically conductive particulates that are creating much more dry lightning. Climate engineering, core to this equation, period. More headlines. Cameron Peak Fire, now largest in Colorado history. Records being shattered all over the globe. Heat, drought, wildfires, climate engineering core to so much of it. From the UK Independent, biodiversity crisis. US, China, Australia, and Brazil refuse to sign pledge to reverse damage to natural world. That's because they're all signed on to climate engineering and the incredibly destructive attempt to mask what's unfolding from the population until the last possible moment. Report states planetary emergency declaration not enough to gain support from all nations ahead of effort to draw up new agreement to protect nature. While 64 countries have signed a global pledge aimed at halting the catastrophic decline of biodiversity, major nations remain conspicuous in their refusal. Again, nations already named, U.S. being primary nation in that equation. And on the fires again, the idiotic narrative that we're just not raking up enough leaves in the forest. There's no microbial life in the forest. The forest floor is dead. The toxic heavy metals in the precipitation is killing microbial life. destroying root systems, killing the trees from the bottom up, and that is part of the climate engineering operations in addition to other forms of anthropogenic pollution. There's no decomposition taking place in the forest floor that makes the combustible material build up, and there's a cutoff of precipitation. In regard to the false narrative about the California forests, let's look at who really owns the forests in California. There's 33 million acres of forest lands in California. Federal ownership, U.S. government ownership, is 19 million acres. That's 57%. Privately owned forest lands are 13.3 million acres. That's 40%. That leaves only 3% that's owned by the state. 3%. And it's not burning up because we're not out in the middle of nowhere raking leaves. It's burning up because climate engineering is doing everything I've already described, starting with cutting off our precipitation. So in spite of all this data, what do we have this week? Current administration rejects disaster declaration for California wildfires. What a surprise. So it seems Californians are not just under assault by ongoing weather warfare operations. We're now being punished for the state not raking up the leaves and, again, 3% of the forest that the state actually owns. To repeat for the record, the federal government owns 57% of the state's forest, and official narratives for the causes of the fires are total nonsense. Climate engineering is the core factor, a factor that no one is allowed to mention. Last Saturday, a week ago, the climate engineers ushered in a bit of Pacific moisture to the west that they were heavily seeding with chemical ice nucleating elements. What's the result? Much or most of the potential rain was scattered and dispersed, dried up. The desiccant endothermic ice nucleating geoengineering elements consume atmospheric moisture. So we have featureless white skies with no precipitation falling, while in effect, the moisture is migrated across to states further east where snow occurred in some regions. Almost no rain fell in Northern California. A shallow layer of cool air settled to the surface, temporarily dropping temperatures, again, while the majority of storm moisture was migrated further east. Welcome to climate engineering and engineered cooldowns that come at the cost of yet more damage to Earth's atmosphere and the overall climate system and Earth's forests, thus further fueling the overall warming of the planet. How many are still trying to convince themselves that the government would never deploy climate engineering weather warfare operations without public consent? What an incredibly naive notion that is. More headlines. Canada's last intact ice shelf broke off. It took our research station with it. That's from last week. From numerous sources, this: global heating warming up nights faster than days. How many years has Geoengineering Watch made this clear? For over 12 years of our existence, nighttime temperatures are rising twice as fast as daytime highs because of the layer of heat-trapping greenhouse gases and because climate engineering and its particulates, although they can lower some daytime temperatures, they also trap heat, warming nights much faster, a huge part of the equation. Another headline of our increasingly doomed environment due to the takeover of the military-industrial complex. From multiple sources, quote, "Kiss the Amazon rainforest goodbye." From that report, the Brazilian military has taken over as the new watchdog over the Amazon rainforest. Not hard to see where that equation's going. Burn, loot, plunder, pillage, and pollute until there's nothing left. Another headline from last week, UK Guardian. Fifth of countries in the world at risk of ecosystem collapse, analysis finds. No, not a fifth of countries. Newsflash, we all live on the same planet. The notion that only part of the boat is sinking is naive indeed. Another headline, new study shows a vicious circle of climate change building on thickening layers of warm ocean water. Oceans are superheating again, turning into what's known as Canfield Ocean. Superheated, oxygenless, lifeless, stratified dead zones. That's what's occurring. Another headline, Arctic research team returns revealing the Arctic Ocean is dying. Oceans die, we die. Simple. Low and no oxygen dead zones in our oceans are already epidemic. All over the world, there's already nearly 500 known dead zones. The number is growing by the day, and the rate of growth is accelerating. More headlines. Without ice, killer whales are preying on bowhead whales in Alaska's northern seas. That headline was from the AlaskaRepublic.org. From multiple sources, this: damage uncovered on Antarctic glaciers reveals worrying signs for sea level rise. Sea level rise, to a degree that few can comprehend, is a given. It's already baked in. There's no stopping it, no changing. Coastal civilization on every front is done. It's doomed. It's on borrowed time already. The sea level rise will accelerate rapidly from here. Not going to happen overnight, but it's going to happen extraordinarily rapidly, and that will be increasingly difficult to hide in the coming weeks, months, and beyond. Before I run out of time on this on-air broadcast, I want to summarize where we are, how we got here, and where we're heading at blinding speed. From counterpunch.org, 4 reasons civilization won't decline, it will collapse. As modern civilization's shelf life expires, more scholars have turned their attention to the decline and fall of civilizations in the past. Their studies have generated rival explanations of why societies collapse and civilizations die. In the meantime, a lucrative market has emerged for post-apocalyptic novels, movies, TV shows, and video games for those who enjoy the vicarious thrill of dark, futuristic disaster and mayhem from the comfort of their own cozy couch. Of course, surviving the real thing will become a much different story. The latent fear that civilization is living on borrowed time has also spawned a countermarket of the happily ever after optimists who desperately cling to their belief in endless progress. Popular Pollyannas like cognitive psychologist Steven Pinker provide this anxious crowd with soothing assurances that the Titanic ship of progress is unsinkable. Pinker's publications have made him the high priest of, quote, progress. While civilization circles the drain, his ardent audiences find comfort in his lectures and books brimming with cherry-picked evidence to prove that life is better than ever and will surely keep going as it is. Yet, when questioned, Pinker himself admits, quote, it's incorrect to extrapolate that the fact that we've made progress is a prediction that we're guaranteed to continue making progress. Footnote. Describe progress, Mr. Pinker. Does progress mean the creation of an industrialized, militarized, cancerous form of society that has already pushed the planet to all but certain near-term omnicide? Is that your idea of so-called progress? Rosy statistics cleverly disguise the fatal flaw in such arguments. The progress of the past was built by sacrificing the future, and the future is upon us. All the happy facts that certain sources are citing about living standards, life expectancy, and economic growth are the product of industrialized civilization that has pillaged and polluted the planet to produce temporary progress for a growing middle class and enormous profits and power for a tiny elite class of rulers. Not everyone who understands that progress has been purchased at the expense of the future thinks that civilization's collapse will be abrupt and bitter. Scholars of ancient societies like Jared Diamond and John Mitchell Greer accurately point out that abrupt collapse is a rare historical phenomenon. In his book, The Long Descent, Greer assures his readers that, quote, the same pattern repeats over and over again in history. Gradual disintegration, not sudden catastrophic collapse. That's the way civilizations end, Greer states. He further estimates it takes on average about 250 years for civilizations to decline and fall. And Greer finds no reason why modern civilization shouldn't follow this, quote, usual timeline. But Greer's assumption is built on fallacy, because industrial civilization differs from all past civilizations in 4 crucial ways, and every one of them will accelerate and intensify the coming collapse while increasing the difficulty of recovery. Footnote. Any notion that there will be any return to the former paradigm or to the formerly thriving planet we've all known is a scientific and statistical impossibility. Difference number one, unlike all previous civilizations, modern industrial civilization is powered by an exceptionally rich, non-renewable, and irreplaceable energy source, hydrocarbon fuels. This unique energy base predisposes industrial civilization to a short, meteoric lifespan of unprecedented boom and drastic bust. Megacities, globalized production, industrial agriculture, and human populations approaching 8 billion are all historically exceptional and totally unsustainable. Without a constant supply of hydrocarbon fuels, the abundant, easily exploited oil fields and coal mines of the past are mostly depleted. And while there are energy alternatives, there are no realistic replacements that can deliver the abundant net energy that hydrocarbon fuels once provided. Our complex, expansive, high-speed civilization owes its brief lifespan to this one-time rapidly dwindling energy bonanza. Difference two, unlike past civilizations, the economy of industrial society is capitalist. Production for profit is its prime directive and its prime driving force. The unprecedented surplus energy supplied by hydrocarbon fuels has generated exceptional growth and enormous profits over the past 2 centuries. But these historic windfalls of abundant energy and constant growth and rising profits are vanishing. Capitalism will not disappear when boom turns to bust. Instead, energy-starved, growthless capitalism will turn catabolic. Catabolism refers to the condition whereby a living thing devours itself. As profitable sources of production dry up, capitalism will be compelled to turn a profit by consuming the social assets it once created. By cannibalizing itself, the profit motive will exacerbate industrial society's dramatic decline and abrupt collapse. Catabolic capitalism will profit from scarcity, crisis, disaster, and conflict. Warfare, resource hoarding, ecological disaster, and pandemic diseases will become the big profit makers. Footnote, engineered pandemics are a verifiable response to unfolding collapse by those in power. Capital will flow toward lucrative ventures like cybercrime, predatory lending, and financial fraud, bribery, corruption, racketeering, weapons, drugs, and human trafficking. Once disintegration and destruction become the primary source of profit, catabolic capitalism will rampage down the road to ruin, gorging itself on one self-inflicted disaster after another. Difference 3. Unlike past societies, industrial civilization isn't Roman, Chinese, Egyptian, Aztec, or Mayan. Modern civilization is planetary in scope, and it is ecocidal, even omnicidal. Pre-industrial civilizations depleted their topsoil, felled their forests, and polluted their rivers. But the harm was far more temporary and geographically limited. Once market incentives harnessed the colossal power of hydrocarbon fuels to exploit nature, the dire results were planetary. 2 centuries of hydrocarbon fuel combustion have saturated the biosphere with climate-altering carbon that will continue wreaking havoc for generations, even centuries to come. The damage to Earth's living systems, the circulation and chemical composition of the atmosphere and the ocean, the stability of the hydrological and biogeochemical cycles, and the biodiversity of the entire planet is essentially permanent. There are no more unspoiled ecosystems or new frontiers where people can escape the damage the human race has inflicted on the planet. There's no place to hide. Difference 4. Human civilization's collective capacity to confront its mounting crises has been and is crippled by a fragmented political system of antagonistic nations ruled by corrupt elites who care more about power and wealth than people and the planet. Humanity faces a perfect storm of converging global calamities, intersecting tribulations like climate chaos, rampant extinction, food and freshwater scarcity, poverty, extreme inequality, and the rise of global pandemics, which are rapidly eroding the foundations of modern life. The fractured political system makes organizing and mounting a cooperative response all but impossible. And the more catabolic industrial capitalism becomes, the greater the danger that hostile rulers will fan the flames of nationalism and go to war over scarce resources. How people respond to the collapse of industrial civilization will determine how bad things get and what will replace it. The challenges are monumental. In fact, they're existential. They will force us to question our identities, our values, our loyalties, like no other experience in human history. Who are we? Are we first and foremost human beings, struggling to raise our families, strengthen our communities, and coexist with other inhabitants of the planet? Or do our primary loyalties belong to our nation, our culture, our race, our ideology, or our religion? Can we put the survival of our species and our planet first? Or will we allow ourselves to become hopelessly divided along national, cultural, racial, religious, or party lines? The eventual outcome of this great implosion has yet to be determined. Will we overcome the denial and despair, break our addiction to hydrocarbon fuels, and pull together to break the grip of corporate power over our lives? Or will fear and prejudice drive us into hostile camps, fighting over the dwindling resources of a degraded planet? The stakes couldn't be higher. If we're to have any chance of even near-term survival, the climate engineering, weather warfare, toxic assault must be fully exposed and completely halted. It's up to us, the people, to expose and hold to account all those that have helped to lead us to this dark horizon we now face. Elected officials of all political stripes, agency officials, corporate media, and the legions of so-called academicians that have betrayed the human race and the web of life by their willful blindness, by their constant participation in the total deception of populations, carefully crafted by the controllers. The willful deception of populations in exchange for paychecks, pensions, and the temporary preservation of their personal paradigms. All the while, weather warfare rages on in our skies and environmental collapse accelerates by the day. The political circus and its carefully casted performers are not here to save us. Their role is to polarize, divide, and thus conquer. Clinical analysis makes clear that the controllers are not rational, are not reasonable, or sane. Their agendas are killing our host, planet Earth. The result is not an objective, rather, it's a consequence, which is comparable to a malignant cancer. Does a cancer intend to kill its host? No. A cancer exists to proliferate without concern for the consequences. If the cancer is not halted, the host inevitably dies, which includes us in this case. This is the path we are collectively on. This is the journey of the planetary Titanic on which we are all currently passengers. We are out of time. Make your voice heard in this epic effort to turn the tide. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn how you can help. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with geoengineeringwatch.org.